morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is good to see everyone here. At least see half of you.
It's a good thing. The snow is out there. We're getting a little bit of snow, so we're getting into the Christmas mood a little bit. And Nancy Stankavich came over and decorated for Christmas. She always does such a beautiful, beautiful job. It was good to see her. And we need to keep all of the nurses like her in our prayers because they're working so hard and they're so tired from everything that they're doing. The greens are up. The church is sanitized. We had that done last Friday. So Melanie came in with a machine, so that was a beautiful thing. And I know Lori followed up. I'm looking for Lori. Lori came in with her Lysol in her containers and we're cleaning up everywhere that they could possibly think of. So it worked out really, really well for us. Next week, there will be a brief church meeting. That's the 5th. It'll be very short, I'm told. And after that, we will have the diaconate meeting. So we'll have that in the library, so keep that in mind. Okay, Herb, okay. The diaconate, the quarterly business meeting will be the 12th. So that'll be sneaking up in a few weeks also, so keep that in mind. And a couple other things that I had, the benevolence fund. This time of year, we get a little low. There are people who are in need of just paying a few simple bills, so keep that in mind if you'd like to donate it towards the pastor's benevolence fund. And the last thing would be the banquet of blessings. Keep in mind that there's many people who do come in and that's where they get their meals from, and it's a nice thing if we could put a little extra in there as we go. Is there anything else that anyone would like to bring up before us this morning and share? Please. That's excellent news. Mary?
Women Ministry is having our annual Christmas party on December 7th, and we will also be wearing masks, but please come and join us. We're going to have a fun festive time. If you have a favorite holiday recipe, bring it and share it. Come share a little bit about it, and we'll have recipe cards available so you can jot down things that look appealing.
Great, Jim.
Asking for prayers for my stepfather, Jim, today. He's been coughing up blood for 3 months on and off, and we've gone for a battery test set today with a body test tomorrow. I'm getting tired of driving, so keep me and him in your prayers if you will. His name is Jim. Thank you.
Okay. On the back, you will see the call to worship. We will be bringing in. There will be Ann and I will be reading, and you will have a response reading and a prayer. And at the end, we will sing the first verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. So to get us off started, we'll sing the whole version of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Would you please rise?
Oh,
Come, friends, for now is when Advent begins, this journey of joy in the darkness.
We wait in the darkness, expectantly, longingly, anxiously, thoughtfully. The darkness is our friend. In the darkness of the womb, we have been nurtured and protected. In the darkness of the womb, the Christ child was made ready for the journey into light.
You are with us, O God, in darkness and in light.
It is only in the darkness that we can see the splendor of the universe, blankets of stars, the solitary glowing of distant planets. It was the darkness that allowed the Magi to find the star that guided them to where the Christ child lay.
You are with us, O God, in darkness and in light.
In the darkness of the night, desert peoples find relief from the cruel, relentless heat of the sun. In the blessed desert darkness, Mary and Joseph were able to flee with the infant Jesus to safety in Egypt.
You are with us, O God, in darkness and in light.
In the darkness of sleep, we are restored and renewed. In the darkness of sleep, dreams rise up. God spoke to Jacob and Joseph and Pilate's wife through dreams. God is still speaking.
You are with us, O God, in darkness and in light.
And in the same darkness, we come face to face with what the last 2 years have been for us, personally and globally. We come face to face with our fatigue, our grief, our limitations. We allow ourselves to wonder and worry whether the human race is going to make it at all.
So we pray together. We know you are with us, O God. Yet you still
words from Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from David's line. Come over here, please. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness.
Light this candle to symbolize the hope of Advent. Hope seems to be missing in action lately, doesn't it? We read Jeremiah and we ask, God, when will we truly experience the righteousness and safety you have promised? We light this candle and we are reminded that there have always been voices calling out for hope in the midst of injustice, prejudice, and despair. We've just sometimes chosen not to listen. Maybe this time we'll be able to listen. Maybe this year we can be part of God's Advent hope. We light this candle not to drown out the darkness, but to illuminate what we have to learn from it. O come, Emmanuel.
Let us pray. Hope-giving God, help us believe that you will truly restore our hope and fulfill your promises of justice and righteousness. Help us to live as people of hope in this sometimes hopeless world. Amen.
Thank you.
Come now, my dear, accept it, Jesus, hold us to the glory.
seated.
Let us pray. Lord, oh Lord God, you know our times. You know our seasons. You are well versed with humanity, created in your image. Oh Lord, if we could just see your image in our minds, how glorious, how mighty, what you have deposited within us. You alone are God Almighty. There is no other ever. You rule and you reign over this earth. So many times we think we've got it. We think we know it. And yet you, O Lord, are profoundly above whatever we think. Whatever we think we know. It's just no comparison, Lord. Help us to just understand more and more, to call to you for the information, for that knowledge, that understanding of something. You alone can give it to humanity. But we have to call out, we have to need, desire, seek diligently for your life, for your hope, for all that you have planned. Your kingdom takes priority in all things. Lord, lead us on. Help us in our weaknesses. Help us to see more of your glory always before us. Our house always, when we pray, we always pray to be speaking in light of who you are and not who we are. That's a very precious thing for us to do, to pray according to your ways. We thank you, Lord. You will preserve your people. Your remnant will survive. And that is our hope.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Today we will begin in Jeremiah 33:14-16, and it is found on page 645 of your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. It's titled The Righteous Branch and the Covenant with David. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. We now turn to the book of Luke on page 857 of your pew Bibles, 21:25-36. The coming of the Son of Man. There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world,
for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard that your hearts are not weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
journey, I would ask if you would please bow in prayer with me. Father God, we come this morning here to worship you, to praise you, to lift you up, Father. We are starting Advent. That is a special time. That is a great time for us to slow down. It's a great time to take it all in, to give thanks for all of our blessings and all that we have. It's a great time, Father, to spend time in prayer, to spend time hopefully listening for your words, Father. We as a church are starting a journey, as I will talk about in my sermon, but it is a journey. Father God, we pray that you go before us. We pray that you be with our leaders. We pray that you pull leaders out from everywhere you can. You fill everybody with a purpose that we as a church, each and every one of us, are going to choose our next pastor. Each and every one of us are going to pray that you give us the guidance to choose who you want to come here. It's not what we want. It's not who we want. It's who you want, Father. And that is why we are here today, Father, for your glory. We praise and thank you and ask for your guidance and protection, Lord. Amen. This morning is the start of a journey. Well, it seems that many journeys start today. With Advent, we have Joseph and Mary on their long journey towards Bethlehem. Our church life is a journey filled with lessons of joys and celebrations, hardships and struggles, disappointments and special times. We've had baskets full of special times. Together, they strengthen us. They empower us. And they fill us with a hope for God's presence and power in our daily living. Hope for forgiveness of sin. Hope in a bright future. Our church begins a new journey this morning as we mark the first service in 23 years without Pastor Tim. Although we would all like the finding of our new shepherd to be a short journey, we know it could easily take much longer than we hope. And before that day arrives, when a new pastor and his family packs up their belongings and start their journey to come here at the corner of Clay and Grove, we know we have a long journey ahead of us through prayer, meetings, decisions, discussions, evaluations, more meetings, and more prayer. This year has already begun a long journey. And it's been a tiring journey. The last few weeks have been a small example of the unexpected frustrations lurking around every corner. Last year I wrote that 2020 was a duct tape kind of year. That cheap gray duct tape that you wrap around many times in attempts to trying to put and hold everything together. Well, 2021 seems to have continued that way of thinking. Except this year, we need that heavy gray Gorilla tape because the cheap gray didn't last. Will 2020 be a year of renewal as we beat this pandemic and turn things around? Will someone be standing up here a year from now discussing that the pandemic, the recession, the unemployment, the division, depression, grief, fear, hopelessness in our country and COVID is finally in the past? It would be great to hear that, but an educated guess says probably not. But, maybe we can start picking away at the negatives and start turning them around by moving our eyes away from everything that is wrong in the world and turn it towards our only real hope, our hope in Jesus. What do we have right now to hold on to? What do we have today? What do we have that replaces the depression, the grief, and the fear? We have hope. We have a real hope, a Christian hope, a true hope that was born when Jesus entered the world. A hope for forgiveness of sins, a hope for a bright future forever. Hope for God's presence in our daily power, in our daily living. Hope that enables us to forget the past few years, and set our sights on stuff that doesn't disappoint. A hope because of Jesus,
not a wish or a want. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 through 19, if only for this life we had hope, then we are to be pitied more than all men. If our hope was only of this world and only bound by this world, then he would be right. But Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 that the hope which we come is a living hope. He says, praise be to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope we have endures beyond, even beyond the confines of this world. For it is a living hope that brings us into an inheritance that God has for us, one that can never spoil, perish, or fade. The proof of it, the seal of the deal, is that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave and ascended into heaven. He who died for us, who paid the penalty for our sins in his flesh, was also raised by new life by the hand of God as proof that his sacrifice is both satisfactory and sufficient in God's eyes. Justice has been saved, served. The horror of the curse has been removed. But he will not be the last, for we, who by the grace have also been saved, we will be raised to new life as well. This too is our hope. In the Old Testament, hope means to bind things together, often by twisting. It refers to the process of making rope, by twisting two strands of material together to make it stronger. Understood in this way, hope means I bring my problems to the Lord as I hold on to the specific promises of God. And to hope means to wrap my problems together with God's promise. Ecclesiastes 4:12 adds God's provision of his promise and our problems. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The third strand is Emmanuel. Jesus Christ, born on Christmas, crucified on Good Friday, and raised on Easter. He is heaven's child, the hope of the world. With him wrapped around our lives, we are safe and secure. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, a Sunday represented by our first candle. The candle is the hope candle. And with the story of Jeremiah this morning, a story of hope of a coming Savior, a hope in the darkness, hope that will listen and become part of God's Advent for us. We begin our journey venturing forward like the shepherds toward the little town of Bethlehem. And the message of the morning, the message of the candle being lit, not to drown out the darkness, but to illuminate what we have to learn from it. And the message we should be focused on is the message of a great hope. As the countdown continues throughout the centuries, God continually reminds his people that Christ is coming. He sent prophets like Jeremiah who repeatedly echoed that call. Christ is coming. Why were those so constrained and unconvinced that this was going to happen? Why did they feel that this would never get done, or they lost sight of God's promise? Other people went along doubting God. He would never fulfill his promise. And still others just gave up completely and decided that it just wasn't worth it. That's where we find our prophet Jeremiah this morning. There were plenty of people in Jeremiah's day who looked at Israel, or what was left of it, and wondered when, how, and maybe even if God would still send a Savior that he had promised. You see, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, had been ripped apart by a civil war. The northern kingdom of Israel had slowly been dismantled. The cities were destroyed. Its people were killed off or carried off into exile by the Assyrians. And all that was left was a speck of a nation called the southern kingdom or Judah, with its capital city of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was now watching as the newest world power, the Babylonians, brutally terrorized the city of Judah, killed its people. He was about to witness the Babylonians successful starve the city and into submission and burn it to the ground. Things were bad for Israel, And this is what Jeremiah says, for this is what the Lord God of Israel says about the house and the city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn apart and used to siege the city. They will be filled with the dead bodies of the people I will lay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of all its wickedness. Jeremiah 33, 4 through 5. Things were really bad for Jeremiah and his fellow Jews. The people that God had set apart from all the other nations on earth, a chosen people for whom God had promised to send the Savior of the world, had lost their way, deserted their God. They had run after gods of their neighbors. Israel kings were far from perfect. They too often chose to lead God's people, the chosen people, in the wrong direction. They failed to provide God's leadership, instead leading the people even further and further and further away from God. The religious leaders who should have been calling God's people to recognize their sins and repent of it remained silent or so discouraged. The voice of the faithful prophet like Jeremiah sent a reminder that people, that Christ is coming, but it just fell on deaf ears. It appears that God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, had been cut down to a lifeless stump because of all its wickedness. It was no longer capable of producing much of anything good at all. But hold on. Hold on. Just listen to what the Lord goes on to say to Jeremiah just a few verses later. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout out of David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior. Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16. Did we hear that? Despite what Israel was like, the countdown to Christmas did not stop. From the seemingly lifeless stump of a nation, a branch was going to sprout, not just any branch, but a righteous branch. Yes, from the nation of Israel, from the family of the King David, this Christ was going to one day come. The Lord uses the picture to describe what the righteous branch, Christ Jesus, would do for all his people when he came. The Lord, our righteous Savior, brings us safety when our conscious attempts to convict us by bringing up the sins of our past or our ongoing struggles against sin in the present, the devil tries his best to get us to question how God could ever forgive us or accept us. It is the Lord's righteousness that protects us and brings us peace. The devil may bring those sins to mind, but they never enter into God's mind when he looks at us. Why? Because through faith, he sees only the righteous branch of Jesus, someone who did all the things just and right in our place. And on the final day of life, when the devil pulls up your life's profile, certain that he will find more than enough evidence that you belong to him for all of eternity, the only thing that he will see is the perfect life of Jesus. Every decision made correctly, every word lovingly spoken, every thought perfectly pure, every action right in line with God's will. Yes, it's only because of the Lord, of our righteous Savior, that we can bring the certain and be certain of God's love and our entrance into eternal life. What does Jesus say about the path to heaven? John 14, 6. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. To be accepted into heaven, you must admit you're a sinner, ask for forgiveness, admit that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and ask him to have that personal relationship with you. And as the praise team sung, how great the chasm lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Like a bridge over troubled water, Jesus laid himself down by building a bridge to our Father, God, and heaven for each of us. And he did it with just two sticks. We are Advent people. We are people of hope and love. And being touched by God's love, we can love others. We can love each other. And remembering God's people of old, we trust that there is hope for us too. Just as Jeremiah promised a coming king of Israel who would be great to the ends of all the earth, so we, like the people of Judah, wait for the coming king, Jesus, our Messiah. One of the most beautiful stories in literature is the French classic, The Little Prince. There are two lines that have an Advent and a Christmas message in them. The fox says to the little prince at one point, "If you come at 4 o'clock, I shall begin to be happy at 3 o'clock." This is the story of Advent. This is also where the expression happy hour came from. It is the happy hour of waiting in hope and expectation, remembering God's love for us and the world by sending his son, Jesus. This is what Advent involves, happily waiting for our Lord and Savior, knowing that he is coming. The message of Advent hope and expectation of God's all-embracing love, it is for each of us. It is for everyone. The message of hope and expectation of God's all-embracing love. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. It doesn't matter what your situation is. God gives us hope and bids us rejoice this happy hour of Advent. And as we expectantly wait for Jesus' coming to us and spread his love around to everyone that we meet. While Advent is certainly a time for celebration and anticipation of Christ's birth, it is more than that. It is only a shadow of Advent of the miracle of Christmas that can be fully understood and appreciated. And it is only the light of Christmas and that the Christian life that in it makes any sense. It is between the fulfilled promise of Christ's first coming and yet to be fulfilled promise of his second coming that Karl Barth penned these words. Unfulfilled and fulfilled promises are related to each other, as are dawn and sunrise. Both promise, in fact, the same promise. If anywhere at all, then it is precisely in the light of the coming of Christ that faith has become Advent. Advent faith, the expectation of future revelation. But faith knows for whom and for what it is waiting. It is fulfilled faith because it lays between and hold on the fulfilled promise. The promise for Israel and the promise for the church is Jesus Christ. He has come. He will come again. This is the essence of Advent. So let the countdown to Christmas continue. Because Christ's coming, that righteous branch of salvation, is worthy of our anticipation, our celebration, and our invitation to others to come and see this amazing thing that God has done. Amen. Let us now move to the prayers of the church. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, we got our first dusting of snow. The cold winds of November are blowing as it ends, and December will begin. We find our beginnings and our ends in God. Month after month, our God attends to us and supports us. We thank you for that, Father. For your company, we offer all thanks and praise. Let us worship our God who gives us Jesus Christ, a God who is the Alpha, Omega, in the beginning and the end, the living one, our Redeemer, now and forever. Father God, this morning we lift up Robert Morton, who is home. We thank you and praise you for bringing him back home. We lift up Carol Stratman. We lift up her daughter, Cindy Doyle. We lift up Liz, who is worrying and struggling. She is home. And be with her son, her grandson, Dennis. We lift up the bishops. We lift up Herb and Rogine. We lift up the Anticolis. We lift up Millie this morning. We lift up Chris Freeland, who still has COVID. We lift up the Berkeleys. And we lift up Lou Friedland, Winkrop. Father God, Lord Jesus, we wait your coming. We wait filled with hope, knowing your light will shine in the darkness. We wait anticipating your peace, believing that one day it will fill our world. We wait embracing your love. May we reach out and share it with our neighbors. May we remember this year to remember each of our neighbors, to not run home, not to lock ourselves away from them, Father, but to reach out for them. We wait with joy, bubbling with expectation of your birth, happily waiting for our Lord and Savior, knowing that he is coming. Lord, we wait. Come soon and fill us with your life and your miracle of Christmas. We praise and thank you this day for all you do. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you so much for all the privilege you have given to your people to receive from you so much and so many things. And even if those don't exist in our lives, it's ourselves we offer up to you. So as we come this morning to give our donations, our pledges, our gifts from our hearts, Lord, we just thank you that we are definitely able. You make us able because of your provision for your people. Help us to believe that you are our provision. And for that is so much grace and love. We thank you, Lord, as we process this morning. Move through our service, remembering each and every one here and all that they have done and will do for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise for the doxology.
Thank you.
remember as we leave today to greet those around us. There will be some coffee downstairs, and there will be some goodies to have. And as you go forth this morning, may you be inspired both by God's mysterious darkness and by God's marvelous light. And may you be called beyond your comfort zone to share God's Advent hope with those to whom God is hope is a stranger. May you be Christ in a world in desperate need of a Christ. Amen.